Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for music. I thank you for joy. I thank you for peace. I thank you for just your love and mercy and grace. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would just be with us, Lord. It's been a difficult time for some of us as we've lost a friend this week. And others, Lord, are going through their own struggles, and we all can feel it. And Lord, I see this passage this morning, and it reminds me of our words and the power of them. And I just pray that you would just help guide and guard the words that are coming out of my mouth this morning. And I just pray that all of us, Lord, would be mindful as we go through this message this morning, as we open up your word, that we would be mindful of how we speak and what we say and how we say it and why we say it. And just speak to us, Lord. I pray that you would just convict us and teach us and lift us up this morning, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, it just seems kind of, I don't know, some of you have said we had a busy week, a hard week, but we all have struggles. I can go around this room right now and I can see, and I know of people who are struggling with things. It's life, isn't it? It's just how it is. We all talk about the good things, but there's also the other side of life, which is difficult times. And we all go through difficult times. And the reason we can know what good times are is because we've been through difficult times. We can praise a good day because we know what a bad day is. Right? I mean, it's true. I mean, I can appreciate good health because I've had situations where my health wasn't so good. So I know when a day I feel good. And I'm happy about it. It's just life. It's life is ups and downs. And I'm thankful for the ups and downs because I'm thankful because Christ is always the same. And I stay in Christ. And one day, there will be no more ups and downs. And it'll just be Christ. Amen? All right, so we're going to open up the book of James and talk about, of all things, our mouths. Right? You know, this is the kind of message that you go, I don't even want to preach that. I don't want to get up. I don't want to talk about it. Mainly because of my own problems with my own mouth. Right? I got to tell other people about their mouths when my own mouth has got issues. So it's like one of those sermons that three fingers are pointing back at me. And we're in James chapter 3, and the title of this message is just simple, Our Tongues. Our Tongue. And what I'm not going to talk about this morning is like all the different things of how you should speak to somebody. I mean, you can get lots of books about how you could say words right, use phrases right, how you start a conversation. Like, you don't want to start one with, you know, if you got an issue with someone, you don't ever start with you. Why? Because as soon as you say you've put the other person on the defensive. Yeah. Those are little tricks you can learn. You can learn all kinds of things about how to say something, to put someone at ease and how to talk to them in their lives. I'm not going to talk about any of that this morning. If you want that, you're going to have to go find it on your own. What I want to deal with this morning is the condition of our heart when we talk. Because I think that's what's at the heart of this passage. And then I want to point you in a direction. So it's just really simple. The condition of my heart, and how do I change it? Because it's reflected in the words I use. And so let's go ahead and let's just set the tone right now, this morning, with a question. How many of you have said something you've regretted? Every hand should go up. If you didn't put your hand up, well, you got another issue we got to have to deal with on another sermon. Because I don't know about you, but I have actually said things, and I can almost watch the words like leave my mouth, and you just want to go, and you can't. It's just, it's gone. It's going. And it just, you can't bring it back. Once it's out, it just goes. How many of you have you hurt by something that you said? How many of you have been hurt by someone who said something to you? We've all been there. I think this is why this is so important of a passage, because words have impacted our lives in immense ways, in huge ways. It's easy to understand why James would write this, because it's something we're all familiar with. Words are powerful. Words, when you think about it, created the universe. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Just think about Jesus calls himself the Word. I am the Word. That's amazing. That shows you the power that's behind words. Words can set the course of our lives. Words have to be taken seriously. James is writing from experience. He has seen words at work. He's a pastor, and he sees, as a pastor, I see it too. I see the power of my words that I say every week to you. I speak into your lives all through the week. I speak into people's lives, and I see changes in people. I see the impact of words, and I see and hear the words that you share with one another, and I see that, and I see the impact. So if you have your Bibles, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Let's just read these together. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a mature man, who is also able to control his whole body. Now, when you put bits into the mouth of horses, you can make them obey us. We can also guide the whole animal. And consider ships. Though they are large and driven by fierce wind, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will the pilot directs. So too, the tongue is a small part of the body. It boasts great things. Consider how large a forest a small fire ignites. The tongue is a fire. The tongue, the world of unrighteousness, a place among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. Every sea creature, reptile, bird, or animal is tamed and has been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. We praise our Lord and our Father with it, and curse men who are made in God's likeness with it. Praising and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives? My brothers, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt water spring yield fresh water. Strong words, aren't they? He doesn't have a lot to good say about our tongues, does he? It's kind of a straightforward passage. James opens by a warning with teachers, reminding them that they will be held in stricter judgment because of the words that they use. James points out that we all sin, we all stumble, he says. But if we can keep from stumbling in our words, it reflects in the way that we live our lives. The point here is that we're going to be held accountable for what we say. We're going to be held accountable for what we say. As a pastor, I am keenly aware of this reality, and it's something I struggle with. I know that each time that I get up and I stand behind this podium right here, I'm speaking on behalf of God. And it terrifies me each week. I don't take it lightly. And so you can pray for me, because it's a serious, serious thing. And you pray for our teachers. I try to choose my words carefully, and I ask and pray for God to guide me. But is that the only place we should have fear? Is right here behind this podium? How about Sunday school teachers? How many of us teach in here or have taught something? How about family group leaders, worship leaders, family care, parents, our teachers, grandparents, our teachers? The fact is, what we say is important. And Jesus said this about it. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will come to have an account, have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be acquitted, or by your words you'll be condemned. That comes out of Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Every careless word we speak. Think about that for a moment. Every careless word. We need to be careful in what we say and how we say it. And it should cause us all to pause and not be so quick to say what's on our mind. I think that gets more people in trouble than anything else. I just got to tell you what's on my mind. It's nothing good ever comes out of that. You ever think about that? As soon as that first little preparatory phrase comes out, you know nothing good is behind it. Is it? Anyways. James gives us next a list of illustrations to point out the fact that the tongue is small, but it can do so much in our lives. James says the tongue is a small part of the body, but it boasts in great things. He goes on to point that three things come out of the tongue. And it's kind of interesting if when you look in the text, it says it's a fire, it pollutes, and it sets the course of life. Did you pick that up? It's a fire, it pollutes, sets the course of life. Think about this for a moment. The tongue is a fire. It's a fire. When I think about fire, I think about a lot of good uses for fire. Right? I mean, when it's cold out, I'm happy that fire keeps me warm. I mean, I like seeing a fire in a fireplace, a little contained area. It's kind of nice. Sounds nice. It's crackling. Smells nice. See, you're all just thinking about sitting by a fire right now, seeing it. I also like a fire when it's in the grill. I really like that. And I can smell the smoke. I like fire. Grill. I can grill some meat on it, burn some things. It's wonderful. But I can tell you that I don't like fire when it's in my curtains or burning through my house. Or if you've ever had like a big grill fire, I've had fires just start up. It's terrifying. But fire, what we have to remind ourselves and remember that once fire gets loose from its little containment area, it does not care who it burns. It just wants to burn. And it will destroy and consume everything in its path. It does not care. It only cares about burning. It will destroy everything. A tongue that is not under control destroys lives. It destroys lives. It will lay waste to everything. Just think about a time when you let loose in your words. Maybe you got mad about something. Something happened, and you just opened the valve and let loose words. We've all done it. It's amazing. What amazes me at that moment is how quickly the words come out of my mouth. And they just keep compiling. And they just keep going. And it's almost like you can see this stream of words coming out, and you almost become conscious that, whoa, I'm saying this. You almost like lose connection with the brain and the mouth. And it just goes loose. And by the time you start to realize you've gone way too far, it's too late. You can't get those words back. You can't pull them back in, and they've already done their damage. In fact, they'll burn for a long time. A lot of our words, you think about some of the words that somebody said to you years ago and how they still smolder. Even though you've forgiven the person, even though you don't want to think about it no more, those words still have left their mark on you. At the same time, our words can build people up in amazing ways. Just like fire is useful, they can encourage us. Think about somebody who's come along in your life and said something positive to you, encouraging to you, and how that spurred you to do greater things. I like to think of myself as the CEO. You ready? The chief encouragement officer. Right? I show up at a function and my job is to be the CEO. To go around and just encourage everybody. With what? Words. You're doing a great job today. I'm so glad to see you. I love your smile. I love that you're here. Those words are good words. And they build people up and they strengthen them. And they want to be a part of something. We can use our words in that way. And we should use them in that way. James uses another term that's interesting. He says that the tongue pollutes the whole body. The Greek word here means to corrupt or stain or defile. If you have different translations, you'll see those kind of words. You'll see like NIV uses corrupt and the ESV uses stain. And we see here in Nehemiah it says pollute. But you can kind of get what they're saying. The thought is here is that our words have a way of marking us. Have a way of marking us. Words characterize us. Especially words that are used over time. Sharon, if you don't know, my beautiful and wonderful wife, she loves to work with wood. And I like to watch her work with wood. I help her out once in a while, sanding her. Lifting. She likes me to lift the boards. I found that out. And when we go to Home Depot, you know, she can't just pick a good board. It has to be the Sharon Perfect board, which has all the flaws in it. I think she's the only person that looks for boards with all the knots and all the lines because she likes the character of wood. So she'll have people digging through wood piles just looking for the worst board as long as it's straight. That's all she cares about. But one of the things that you do with wood is you stain it. You stain it. And there's a process, the whole process of going out and picking the color of stain. And then when you get home, you spread the stain out on the wood, and the stain penetrates the top layer of wood. And once the wood is stained, the only thing you can do to get rid of that stain is actually to strip it off. The sand off the wood. You have to take all the wood, the whole layer off. Because it's permanent. It's not going to change. But also it's not only the board that gets stained. The one doing the staining, their hands get stained. You get marked too as you're staining. The picture here is words like stain is over time. Words stain us. They stain us. They pollute us and corrupt us. And we might not even be mindful of it. It could be just simple things like being judgmental of somebody or just being critical of somebody. But it starts to characterize us. And then once we get marked and corrupt, it sets the course of our life. Just think about it. It starts to shape who you are. And that's what he's saying, it's shaping who you are. If you just let these careless words just come out, it's going to mark you, it's going to sustain, it's going to change the way you are fundamentally, and it's going to set the course of your life. Simple words can destroy our lives and the lives around us and mark us forever. Just think about people that you've known in your life that they said something, or how they say and how they talk. Other people don't want to be around them. I mean, maybe you have a relative that just is so negative all the time. I mean, every time you talk to them on the phone, it's like sitting at a blood bank, and you're just drained by the end of it. You feel like all the life has just been sucked out of you because they're just so, ugh. Have you been there? I mean, an hour on the phone, it takes you 3 hours to recover. And then you can't figure out why the person can't figure out why you never call them or why you never want to talk to them. Because it's draining. And you just want to say that to them, huh? You're draining me through your words. It's kind of like in Job, like Charlie and me say, how long are you going to go on with these words blasting me? But we got to think about that. Words set the course of our lives. What are people thinking about you by the words that you're using and the way that you talk? That's what he's saying. And he's saying that those people that get off track and their words become destructive, those words are actually coming from hell. Because remember, the enemy comes into our lives to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. And the best way he can destroy you is just to get you talking. Get you talking about things you shouldn't be talking about. James goes on describing the tongue as a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And we understand why James said earlier in the letter, he said we should be, remember, quick to listen and slow to speak. I think we say too many words. I'm coming to that conclusion. The older I get, the less words is better. I know, I'm not there yet. If anybody said and talked to me, you know I got a lot of words. One of the questions that I ask myself, and I ask myself a lot, and I would hope that you would ask yourself the same kind of questions, is why do I do the things I do? I mean, I ask that, whatever. If I make a phone call, a visit, if I do something on the computer, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. Why do I do the things I do? I ask myself, what's my motive behind this? Why am I doing this? Is it good? And when I'm having a problem controlling my tongue, I have to ask my question, what is that saying about me? What is that saying about me? And where does it come from? Because I want to know where it comes from. Because I want to kill it at its root. I don't want to just cut off the top of the weeds and do some sin management and say, I'm not going to say, you know, set up a curse jar and every time I say something bad, I'm going to put a quarter in it. That doesn't stop me from cursing, right? It just means in that area, I'm not going to say it because it's going to cost me something. But if I go somewhere else, you're going to hear all the words because I'm not dealing with my issue. I have to get to the root of it. And so that's what I want to do. I want to get to root of the problem. What is causing me to speak that way? What is it causing me to act that way? Matthew 5:11, Jesus says this, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of a man, out of the mouth, defiles a man. And listen to what he says. He continues. He says this, he says, but what comes out of the mouth of the comes from the heart. And this defiles a man. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immorality, thefts, false testimonies, blasphemy. These are the things that defile a man. He says it comes from our hearts. It's not just what I say I have to be concerned with. I have to be mindful that the words that I use are reflecting my heart. That's where they're coming from. My heart. Why I say it's because it comes from my heart, and my heart is corrupted by sin. And I have to know that. I have to be mindful of that. We need to understand this. I mean, it might not be an answer that we like, but that's where it comes from. And he continues, we praise, this is James, he says, we praise our Lord and our Father with it, and we curse a man who is made in God's likeness with it. Just think about that for a moment. We get to praise God with our mouths. Just think about what a privilege that is. You will spend eternity in front of the throne in heaven for there is no time for eternity, praising God with your mouth. You will tell others about God. We have the privilege of singing. We get to sing to God. We praise Him with our mouths. Right? Some of us do it better than others. But we all do it, right? It comes from our heart. But think about it. With that same tongue, out of the same mouth, we curse other people. We curse other people. We praise God and curse man made in His image. How can we praise God and curse another human being? That's the question. Because it doesn't matter what that other human being did or what they say. The Bible's pretty clear. A human being is made in the image of God. They're made in the likeness of God. And they have worth. It doesn't matter if their lives are worthless, if they think that and they act like that. As Christians, we know they have value. They have worth. They have dignity. It's something that we don't really think about. It's a word that we need to get back into our vocabulary, is the word dignity. You have dignity. The way that you conduct your life and the way other people treat you, it matters because you have worth. Alive or unalive. I mean, born or unborn. That's what I mean. That's why abortion to me is so horrible, because that person in the womb has dignity. We are not going to rob it of its dignity or take from the mother her dignity. Because that's what we do with abortion. But we have worth. Everyone has worth. And we're not to curse anyone made in the image of God. James goes on to say, my brothers, these things should not be this way. Our words are powerful, and they have a great impact on those around us. A single word can set an entire course of lives. It can either build or destroy. And the big question is, how do we get control of our tongue? That's the question that we have to start to answer. And it starts by changing my heart. I have to change my heart. My words reflect my heart. My heart has to be changed. And the only person that I know that can change our hearts is Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus is the way of controlling my tongue. I do. I believe this because I believe Jesus is the answer to everything. If you want a better marriage, get closer to Christ. If you want to be a good parent, get closer to Christ. If you want to get along with that person you can't get along with, get closer to Christ. And you'll start to love that person in a way that Christ does. We're to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. And the more we grow in the knowledge of Christ, the more we'll reflect Christ in what we say and what we do. In fact, Paul even has a phrase for this. He says, have the mind of Christ. We are to have the mind of Christ. To change our hearts and start declaring, we have to start declaring that Jesus is Lord. Now that's something we don't like to say. I know you'll say that we do say this, but here's what that means. It doesn't mean I just believe in Jesus. Because remember, James is going to tell us here soon that the demons believe and shudder. See, it's more than just saying I believe. Acknowledging that Jesus is Lord is to surrender your life to Christ, to surrender your life to His Lordship, that He is Lord of my life. He is my King. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of changing my life for. He is worthy to give everything that I have to. He is worthy. It's not only to declare that Jesus is Lord in our lives, but this will only happen when we truly surrender to Him that we will see change. In fact, Paul says this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. He says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Once one believes with his heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with his mouth, resulting in salvation. See, there's a change that happens there in your heart. When you surrender to Christ and you say He is Lord, it comes out of your mouth. You confess that Jesus is Lord, that He is worthy. He is righteous. I am not. He is. And by that I say I believe. And I am saved. Because it reflects what? A changed heart. There's something that's changed in me. Words are powerful, and they reflect our hearts. And if we want to change how we speak, it's going to matter about the relationship that we have with Christ. Is He Lord of your life? Has He made Him, made you? Have you made Him Lord of your life? Have you surrendered to Him? Do you get up in the morning and say, Lord, today is yours? Surrender your life to Him. Surrender your tongue to Him. Lord, use my mouth in a way that glorifies You and not glorifies me. We need to be mindful in what we say, and wrapping this up, knowing that every careless word we say will be held accountable. We need to know that the things we say and how we say it is important. And we have to understand why we say the things we say. It's the condition of our hearts. If we are to get to the root of our words, we have to realize that our words say more about us and the condition of our heart than anything else. The way we change it is we have to be changed from the inside out. That's what we need. And it starts with Jesus. It starts with Christ. And I'll close with this one verse. And it's a powerful verse. And it's a verse that all of us should give pause to. And if you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, I would say go find it and highlight it and think about it. And it comes out of 1 Peter, 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11, it says this. If anyone speaks, it says if anyone speaks. Just so we know, that's anyone. That's pretty easy, right? It should be as one who speaks God's words. That the words you say are God's words. Right? And then you go, because right now you're just doing like what Victor did over here, like, oh, right? And you should do that. But I love the Bible because this is what it's going to give us an answer to that. Right? If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him belongs the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. See, we're going to do this from the strength of Christ. We're going to rely on the strength of Christ to change the way we speak, so that the words that we say are the words that God would say, would want us to say to other people. Feel beat up? I hope not. I hope you're encouraged by this. Now the thing is to go out from here. We're going to close up in prayer and we'll have the invitation. But the big thing is to take this message and to go home and think about it. And not just think about it, but what else do you need to do? You need to put it into practice. You need to put it in practice. And I hope that you can hear these words. And if you're having trouble, I'm just going to encourage you to go to 1 Peter 4:11. And just be mindful of what you say is from God. That's what it should be. But do it from God's strength, not from your own. So when we get in trouble, when we go on our own strength and not on what God provides, even in changing my tongue. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you how, and even the littlest things, you're trying to make us more and more into the image of Christ. That you just don't settle for us just to be just us. That you want so much more from us. That you want us to reflect Christ in our lives and everything that we say and do. Lord, I pray that you'd help us do that. But Lord, I also pray that right now in this room, there are people here that have never surrendered their lives to Christ. And that their mouth is the least of their worries right now. The biggest challenge they have is that their hearts have not been changed. And their hearts are hard or away from you. So Lord, I pray that you would draw their hearts to you now. That you would change them. That you would change them right now, Lord. And if there's anybody in here that's never put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray now, this morning, they would surrender to Christ. I pray that all of us in this room right now, Lord, would surrender to Christ. Even people who have made a confession of belief for many years, Lord, this morning, let us surrender. And let our words reflect our lives surrendered to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.